Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be tackling, well, one of the biggest and most debated questions in history and religion. Who exactly was Jesus of Nazareth?
It's a question that, for at least the last 200 years, has been defined by this huge divide. Scholars have almost always insisted you have to separate the Jesus of history, the human teacher, from the Christ of faith, the divine figure people worship. The assumption was always that a serious historian would have to kind of strip away the faith part.
And that's exactly the assumption. Our source material today just blows up. We're diving into the work of Richard Bauckham, who is, one of the most respected New Testament scholars out there.
He is. And he argues that this whole separation is a false choice. He makes the case that if you use rigorous, honest historical methods, you actually end up right back at the powerful, profound portrait of Jesus you find in the earliest Christian sources.
It's a really fascinating argument because it asks for intellectual honesty from everyone. You know, whether you're coming at this from a place of faith or a place of skepticism or somewhere in between.
Okay, so let's start with the scholar himself. Who is Richard Bauckham? Why should we listen to what he has to say?
He's a major figure. He was a professor in New Testament studies at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland, which is a world-class center for this kind of work.
And his authority comes from decades of just incredibly detailed research, not just in early Christianity, but in the entire world of what's called Second Temple Judaism. The context is everything for him.
And what I find so interesting about his approach is that he walks this fine line, right? Mm-hmm. He avoids the two extremes that usually dominate this conversation.
Exactly. On one hand, you have what you could call skeptical reductionism. That's where academics just strip away anything that sounds supernatural or theological until you're left with a kind of bland, modern-day moral teacher.
A Jesus that's very convenient for our time, but maybe not for the first century.
Right. And then on the other side, you have what's called uncritical apologetics, which basically ignores historical methods and just accepts everything at face value.
And Bauckham carves out this this middle way.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw out historical criticism. He embraces it. He just argues that a lot of the past critics were using flawed assumptions or, you know, projecting their own biases onto the text.
And he really earned the right to make that argument with his huge earlier book, Jesus and the Eyewitnesses. In it, he makes this powerful case that the Gospels aren't just myths that grew over time.
Right.
He argues they're grounded in the living memory of people who are actually there. And that gives him the foundation to talk about the history behind these texts.
So that's the groundwork. Now, for the book we're focusing on, his central idea is that the split between the historical Jesus and the Christ of faith is a false dichotomy.
Right.
How does he build that case?
Well, he says that if you just read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, without these modern reductionist filters, the person they present is actually the most historically coherent one we have.
So the idea that the theology was added on later, he rejects that.
He completely rejects it. He says the profound theology was the immediate response of the eyewitnesses. It was their way of making sense of the man they knew. It wasn't a later invention.
That's a huge claim. His goal, then, is to show that good, careful historical work leads you to a figure who is, you know, recognizably the same person the first Christians proclaimed.
Exactly. The book is an introduction, but it's a very serious one. He starts by grounding Jesus in his first century Jewish world. He looks at all the sources, Christian, Roman, Jewish, and tracks the story from his ministry all the way to his execution and, well, what happened next.
Okay, let's get into the details, starting with his methodology. This is where he really challenges a lot of previous scholarship. He's very critical of the whole quest for the historical Jesus. Why?
Because, as he points out, those quests often told you more about the scholars themselves than they did about Jesus.
Ah, about their own time and place.
Precisely. You had Enlightenment scholars who, you know, didn't believe in miracles. So they just cut all the miracles out of the story. And they were left with a nice, reasonable 19th century liberal reformer, a figure who would have been totally alien in first century Judea. Bauckham insists we have to read the sources on their own terms.
And a big part of that is understanding what kind of documents the Gospels actually are. He's clear, they aren't modern biographies. He calls them, I think, theological interpretations of historical traditions.
That phrase is so important. He says they belong to the ancient genre of bios or life. A modern biography is obsessed with, you know, chronological facts and objectivity.
A timeline.
Right. And ancient bios had a different goal. It wanted to convey the person's character, their significance, their meaning. So the authors had the freedom to arrange stories and select material to make a point about who this person truly was.
So the theology isn't a corruption of the history. It's the point of the history. It's the conviction of the people who knew him.
Exactly. And that conviction has to start by grounding Jesus in his own culture. This is non-negotiable for Bauckham. Jesus was a first century Jew.
If you miss that, you miss everything.
You miss everything. You can't understand his teachings, his arguments, his conflicts without understanding the temple, the Roman occupation, the different Jewish groups of the day. His vision was a distinctly Jewish vision. He wasn't trying to start a whole new religion separate from his heritage.
Which brings us to his central message, the kingdom of God. I think a lot of us hear that phrase and immediately think of heaven like a place you go when you die. But that's not it, is it?
Not at all. For Bauckham and for Jesus, the kingdom wasn't a place, but an activity. It was God's dynamic act of ruling that was breaking into the world right then and there through Jesus's ministry.
So it's an action, not a location.
Yes. The miracles showed God's power over sickness. The exorcisms showed God's rule over evil. The kingdom was this present reality that demanded a choice, even if its, you know, final fulfillment was still in the future.
And the parables were his main tool for teaching about this kingdom. And they weren't just cozy stories.
No, not at all. They were often confusing, challenging, meant to really shake people up and force them to see how surprising God's rule was. They turned everything upside down.
How so?
They preached this radical inclusivity. The hero of the story is the outcast Samaritan or the lost son or the poor laborer. They showed a kind of divine justice that completely subverted the social and religious pecking order.
Okay, let's shift from his message to his identity. This is really where the history and the faith come together.
Yeah.
Bauckham argues that Jesus did and said things that put him on God's side of the line, so to speak.
That is the absolute core of the argument. And this would have been just unthinkable in a strictly monotheistic Jewish context. He shows this in a couple ways. First, there's Jesus's relationship with God, his use of the word Abba, or Father.
Which sounds nice, but it was more than that.
It was more than that. It implied a kind of unique, unparalleled intimacy with God that no one else claimed.
But the even more explosive part was what you called his enacted theology, what he actually did. Let's talk about table fellowship. I mean, it's just eating a meal, right? How is that a theological claim?
Because in that culture, eating together was a powerful symbol. It established community, it drew boundaries, and Jesus deliberately ate with tax collectors, with sinners, people who were considered ritually unclean or outside the covenant.
So it wasn't just being friendly.
It was a living parable. By including these people at his table, Jesus was effectively claiming the authority of God to decide who belongs in God's family. He was redefining the people of God right there at the dinner table.
That's incredibly powerful. And it leads to the most radical claim of all, that Jesus is portrayed as being included in the divine identity. Now, in Jewish monotheism, there's a hard, bright line between God, the creator, and everything else. How does Bauckham say Jesus crossed that line?
By doing things that in the Old Testament only God YHWH does, forgiving sins, for example. A prophet could tell you God forgives you. Jesus says, I forgive you.
Claiming the authority directly.
Directly. Or commanding the winds and the waves. Or, and this is crucial, receiving worship and being called Lord, which was a title used for God. Bauckham shows that this isn't a late idea. It's right there in the earliest accounts.
I have to jump in here, though. Because the classic counter-argument is that all this high-level theology, the divine identity stuff, must have been developed much later, maybe by non-Jewish converts who didn't understand the context. How does Bauckham answer that?
That's the million-dollar question, and he answers it with history. He says the core of these radical claims must go back to Jesus himself, because they're the only thing that explains why he ended up on a cross.
Right. If he were just a nice moral teacher, nobody would have cared that much.
Exactly. It wasn't just his teaching that caused the conflict. It was the authority he claimed, the claim to act in God's place. That's what got him killed.
Which makes the end of his life in Jerusalem seem almost historically inevitable.
It was. His actions in the temple, his claims about forgiveness, these were direct challenges to the religious authorities. You combine that with Roman nervousness about anyone who might be seen as a messiah or king.
A threat to their power.
And his crucifixion under Pontius Pilate becomes the logical, predictable outcome of the claims he was making.
Which brings us to the resurrection, the event that launched a global movement. Where does a historian like Bauckham, draw the line between what history can say and what is, you know, purely faith?
It's a very clear line. The historian's job is to establish the facts. And an undisputed historical fact is that his followers, who had been defeated and scattered, suddenly had a genuine, radical, and transformative belief that he had been raised from the dead.
A belief they were willing to die for.
That's right. That belief is a historical event that demands an explanation. Now, Bauckham would say that proving the metaphysical truth of the resurrection is beyond the tools of history. But the historical impact of that belief is undeniable, and you have to account for it.
That synthesis is just so compelling. Let's try to pull out a few key themes that really speak to us today. First, this whole relationship between historical method and faith.
I think Bauckham is a model for intellectual honesty here. He shows that you don't have to be afraid of critical questions. In fact, good, rigorous scholarship isn't the enemy of faith. It can actually support the core of the biblical story. You don't have to check your brain at the door.
The second theme for me is Jesus's prophetic challenge. This wasn't a mild-mannered message.
Not at all. It was fundamentally radical. It was about upending social structures, challenging the wealthy and powerful, and championing the excluded, all in the name of God's justice. It really forces you to look at our own world and ask, you know, what systems of exclusion or privilege are we being called to challenge today?
And a third theme would have to be the reliability of that early Christian memory.
Yes. We have this modern bias where we assume anything ancient must be legendary or mythical. But Bauckham's work on eyewitness testimony forces us to reconsider. He argues that these traditions, even though they're told through a theological lens, preserve a core of authentic history. It reminds you that context is everything when you evaluate a source.
Bauckham is so good at boiling down huge ideas. Let's try to capture a few of them in some key quotes or statements.
Okay. The first one has to be about his central message. The kingdom of God was not a place, but an activity, God's activity of ruling, which would transform the world.
I love that. It explains the urgency of his ministry. He wasn't just talking about a future paradise. He was starting God's revolution on earth right then.
Second, his method. The Gospels are neither pure history nor pure theology, but theological interpretations of historical traditions.
That gives us such a useful way to read them. We can trust the historical core, the events, the sayings, while understanding that the writer's goal was to convince us of Jesus's ultimate significance. They were witnesses, not just court reporters.
And finally, the big thesis that ties it all together. The historical Jesus and the Christ of faith are one and the same person.
And there it is. The solution to that 200-year-old problem. The incredible theology wasn't a later distortion. It was the only explanation that made sense of the incredible man the disciples actually knew.
Thinking about how to apply this, that insight about Jesus's Jewish identity is just so important for interfaith dialogue today.
It really is. It helps us avoid those old destructive ideas that Christianity somehow replaced Judaism. It allows for a much more respectful, informed conversation between Christians and Jews.
And for anyone who reads the Bible, this approach just makes it come alive. When you understand the first century context, a phrase like forgiving sins or a story about him eating with someone isn't just a story anymore. You see the radical high-stakes claim being made.
It's also, I think, a really compelling model of leadership. You see this combination of absolute conviction, you know, challenging the entire temple system with this incredible compassion for people on the margins. It's a model of moral authority that feels very relevant.
For me, the thing that stands out most is just the intellectual maturity of his approach. Bauckham holds his convictions strongly, but he always follows the evidence. He's a model for how to engage with any polarizing topic, really, with rigor and respect.
I completely agree. The biggest takeaway for me is how we so often create these false divisions between facts and meaning. Bauckham shows how history and significance can and should enrich each other. And so the question I'd want to leave with you is this. How often do you approach a complex subject assuming that the evidence and the meaning have to be kept in separate boxes? And what might you discover if you let them inform each other? See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.